There is nothing worse than untapped potentials. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hey everybody, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. And today I get a chance to interview my new friend, Emily Blaine. Now you guys, this is kind of the cool thing. I just have to tell this story, Emily. So the two of us connected over a podcast Facebook group that we basically connected in. And so we're talking, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, where are you from? And she told me that she was from Minnesota. And I'm like, oh my goodness, where? And then literally, like, she's down the street. Like, she lives in the town that I work in. And so how cool is it that I mean, and I literally am interviewing people from all over the world on this show, and here you are, just in my backyard. So how fun is that, that we get a chance to connect and share our passion for money mindset in this episode. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. It was such a crazy connection. Like, we got off the call, it's like, that was so crazy. We're like, you're 15 minutes apart. Because, yeah, same thing. I talk to people from all over.
It's so cool.
Doesn't usually happen that
okay,
way.
So you are considered a financial coach. And one of the things that really stood out to me about you and why I wanted you on the show is that your passion is to help people have conversations before they have trouble, right? And so we can sometimes, you know, so really it's just the engaged couple is really your target market as far as people that you want to talk to, and you help them open up a dialogue. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing in the world, and explain it way better than I just did.
Fair. And if you hear any background noise, my dog is looking out the window at the neighbor dogs.
I get it. I have a dog too. You can't
control it. Talking in the background. No. All right. So yeah, I'm a financial coach, and I do primarily work with engaged couples to help them have sort of the money conversations before they get married, before they've been fighting about the same thing for 10 years. And a lot of times it's a little bit awkward to start that conversation because it's not something that, you know, you're just curled up on the couch watching Netflix and, hey, how much debt do you have? Or, hey, you know, what kind of financial legacy do you want to leave? Like, that's not really a normal topic of conversation.
Yeah.
So sometimes bringing that conversation up can be kind of hard, and knowing how to insert that into normal conversation.
Yeah. And
so
one of the things,
that's kind of where I come.
And one of the things that I really found was interesting when the two of us talked is that not only do you help people, you know, before they get married to have these conversations, because, you know, we bring a money mindset and money behaviors that are deep rooted in ourselves, whether we realize it or not, to the table. Right. And so you help with the beginnings. But one of the things that, you know, really, really spoke to me was any couple really that is going through a transition needs to be on the same page when it comes to money. And, you know, an example,
absolutely,
like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a mindset of an entrepreneur. I'm a risk taker. My husband is absolutely the opposite of that. Like, he really loves stability. And even if his comfort level is no longer comfortable, he would rather stay there because it's what he knows, right? And so the two of us really had to have some hard conversations around money basically in order for us to decide what our next steps are on my entrepreneurial journey and all the things. And these are hard conversations to have. So how did you ever get into this line of work? Like, what made you passionate about this?
So ever since, my husband and I have been married for 9 years, actually next week. And we got married right out of college. And I just sort of naturally stepped into this. I call myself the family CFO.
Yeah.
My husband actually also calls me that. We call me the family CFO because I just sort of handle everything.
Yeah.
I coordinate things with our financial planner. I manage our budget, you know, all of that stuff. And it's always come really natural to me. And I've always kind of enjoyed it. And then a couple of years ago, I realized that I could, like, other people would actually pay me to help them develop those skills as well.
Yeah.
And goodness knows it's hard to get those skills because it's something like 26 states require some form of personal finance class or week, like in high school.
Yeah.
So there aren't very many states that know, just over half require anything. Yeah. And the form that that takes often isn't even necessarily like a full semester class.
Right.
Personal finance 101. Yeah. Or so like, how do you get this information?
Yes.
Because money is, I mean, most, I don't remember the statistic there either, but it's a large number of people would rather talk about basically anything.
Yeah.
Than money. Yeah. No. And so it's,
that's totally true.
Yeah. It's just not talked about around the dinner table growing up. So if you aren't going to get it from school and you aren't going to get it from your parents, then you're kind of thrown into being an adult and you're like, well, I don't know. I've got a credit card. It tells me I can spend this much money. So I may as well spend this much money.
Yeah.
I went to the bank to get approved for a mortgage. They told me I could buy a house worth this much. So I may as well buy a house worth this much. Why wouldn't I?
But
when in reality, those things may not fit in your budget, but how are you supposed to know that if nobody told you about
it? Right. And you know, what's so interesting is that I'm a big Dave Ramsey fan. I've been a financial peace coach for years. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of people end up getting divorced is because of money, right?
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. Though I heard something the other day that I really liked, that it's people don't get divorced because of money. They get divorced because of communication.
Yes.
And I went, oh, yeah, I like it.
Exactly. No, it's totally true. And I think that, again, sometimes we're not even taught as children. So I just talked to my friend Madeline, who is in high school, and she actually is a requirement for them to take the Dave Ramsey mm-hmm. high school course, which is so progressive mm-hmm. for a high school to have some type of a program around personal finance, right? And I didn't know, like, I remember being a kid and going to college and literally, like, within the first 2 weeks, there's a guy set up in the student union with a bunch of free t-shirts to sign up for this credit card. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, right.
Sure.
And I think, you know, I look back at the way that my mom and dad handled money. We never talked about money. I always felt like money mm-hmm. was tight, but I didn't really know what that meant. I didn't watch them, you know, do things with money. I didn't watch them write in their checkbook register. I didn't watch them do any of that stuff. And they definitely still use cash more. But how do you budget that? And like, how do you know how much you have on hand and all of the things? And so when you don't have conversations like that in your own house, then you come to the table in your marriage and you have these preconceived ideas that are not even perfectly complete. And then your spouse mm-hmm. comes with that, their own set of
their set
things. Yep. Right. And then you wonder why the heck you can't like get on the same page with this stuff. So I would love for you to take us down a road for people to really understand. And you guys, like, you might be sitting here and you're like, Lachelle, you know, I'm not engaged. Like, I've been married for a really long time. Like, I don't even know how this applies to me. And I just really got to tell you guys that for me, as somebody who really wants to see something bigger for myself and my family, it involves investments. It involves investments in maybe graduate school. It involves investment in taking courses or having a coach or buying a business franchise or, you know, all of these things. And you cannot take yourself to the next level. You cannot have better for yourself and your family. You cannot create a legacy for your family without a plan. And you can't have a plan if you and your partner are not on the same page. And I got to tell you that when it comes to money, I'm the spender. My husband's definitely the saver. And when it comes to money, he's definitely more of the CFO and I'm more of the free spirit because it makes me uncomfortable. That's my honest, like, vulnerability right here. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like talking about mm-hmm. money. I just know that we have enough in the account and I don't worry about it.
So we're good.
We're good. Right. He's still like, I love him to death. Like, he's so good about like writing every little thing in his register and I don't even know where mine is. Like, that's the honest answer. And so it's hard for me to go to him and say, honey, I think I want to invest in this, you know, $10,000 coaching program, or honey, I really want to apply to have a reduction in my time at work, when I don't have all of the information about what bills we have, what debt we have, where he sees our family in the next 5 years. And so I really just want to encourage all of our listeners to be able to just take yourself and think about it in terms of, where are you now? Where do you want to go? Right? And what conversations do you need to have around those financial points in order to make sure that you can get there? And if you have pent up, unresolved communication issues when it comes to money, right? Mm-hmm. you're not going to have a free conversation around that. And it's going to be distracting energy that you could be focusing on your goals. Would you agree?
Yep.
And, I would agree. So it's just, it's energy that we're wasting by avoiding the conversations and avoiding what we don't want to see. And I can't wait to just be quiet and listen to you and all of your knowledge on what tips and tricks and processes do you take couples to take them down this path of having these conversations and making things work out for the best of their dreams and their legacy.
Yeah. As someone who does not like conflict, speaking for myself, I completely understand what you're saying there. Money is not my thing, you know, not obviously, but one would hope that a financial coach would be relatively comfortable talking about money. So that hasn't been an issue, but there are plenty of other things that like, well, I just won't mention that because then we don't have to talk about it, which again, not healthy. It's going to come up eventually. Better to talk about it.
Okay, so you're human, so that makes me feel better.
Oh yeah. I can go through the list in my head of all of the things that I've been thinking about that I'm like, no, I should talk about that with my husband, but it's not that big a deal. So we'll just forget about it until the next thing that annoys me.
Yeah.
So I completely sympathize there. So when it comes to having that conversation about money, I think shared goals is such a good place. Because if you're working towards something together, then that can kind of clarify things. So if you're able to say, you know, this is what we want.
Yes.
Or maybe to start the conversation, you know, this is what I see. This is what I see our family. This is what I see this doing for us, for our family unit, for our future together. How can we get there? Here's a few ideas I have. What are some ideas you have? You know, if you are the person who knows more about the numbers, because in most relationships, one person ends up being more of the day-to-day finance type person. And one person ends up sort of like you were saying, you know, I know things are taken care of, but I couldn't tell you where everything
is. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I before we got married, like, I obviously did all of my stuff. And so I know that I'm capable of it. I don't like to do it.
Right.
He doesn't mind doing it. So I'm like, sweet. But it definitely, though, does not put us on the same page. And I will tell you that that is such a brilliant advice because you're starting out with something positive.
Exactly.
Right? You're starting out with something future focused. And we did that. We Dave Ramsey, like it's a verb, but a shed on our property. We built a barn and we built it in cash. And everything that we did, every extra money that we had went towards that. And it felt so amazing to watch this.
Because you had that vision of this is what we want. How can we get this? And are we going to put every single dollar we have towards that? Are we comfortable with debt? Are we not comfortable with debt? How much debt are we comfortable with? Then you get into all of those how questions. But if you can start with that big picture of let's build this vision together that we can both buy into. And then you can sort of start working out the how do we feel about this? How do you feel about this? How do I feel about this? Is this good? Is this bad? Does this feel stretchy in a good way? Does this feel stretchy in a really scary way? Is it bad scary? Is it good scary?
Yeah. So what do you do when you have somebody that maybe is coming to you and they're not on the same page with their goals? Maybe one of the spouse members is, you know, wanting to quit their job, but they're the breadwinner, let's just say. And the other person's like, why would you quit your job? You just went through all the schooling and they're not like on the same page with that. So what kind of questions could you take them through to help with that?
I will say if there's too much of that, then I say, okay, go talk to somebody who's like a licensed therapist
who has
more training than I do. There's a definite point. Well, I won't say there's a black and white, this is what I send people, but I am not at all afraid to refer out to people who are more
education. I'm just going to say that you guys listening to this, one of the things that I've been told is that if you want something that's forward focused, you go to a coach. If you have something that is deep ingrained into your past that you need to work through, you go to a therapist.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Coaches tend to be about asking questions, you know, let's look, what are you looking for? What are we trying to build? All of that, maybe dipping a little bit into the past, because obviously I do talk about, you know, what was money like growing up? What sort of your money story that you have ingrained in you. But if there's too much deeper, there's too many layers there, then I'm like, okay, go talk to somebody who can help you dissect those layers, because I don't want to do damage and I could do damage if I get in too deep. But it, the first sort of surface level before we figure out if a referral to someone else, you know, what getting back to sort of that overall goal. So why do you want to quit your job? What do you think that will bring? What do you want to do instead? What does that look like? Person who is not the breadwinner, how does that make you feel when the other person says they want to quit your job? Mm-hmm. Is that something, you know, are you looking to step into that role? Are you not looking to step into that role? And then kind of depending on, you know, if those answers are on two extreme ends of the spectrum, that's when I, okay, maybe you go talk to somebody else mm-hmm. because I don't, if you're here, we can kind of figure something out. If you're, you know,
yeah,
way off the screen apart,
right.
That's yeah. a little out of my
yeah.
depth.
Yeah.
But again, trying to focus on that vision together and can we figure out a way to get there even though it feels like you're apart.
Yeah.
If the vision is there, I think there's a way to come back together.
I love that.
If the person who's not the breadwinner is like, I never want to be the breadwinner. I want to be a stay-at-home parent, bring a no income, just take care of the house. And the person who is the breadwinner says, I want to quit my job and build my own business. Mm-hmm. Great. Those are separate, but we can work with this.
Yeah.
How much income do you need saved up before you start something? You know, how can we build that?
Yeah.
What sort of a runway do you need?
I love that. And it's really just like you said, a coach in your role is asking questions and is helping you to mm-hmm. paint that visual picture. And we can't do that without having a conversation, and conversations are starting with questions.
Right.
And I love that you allow people to start imagining and describing what's inside of their heart, what's inside of their brain to each other so that you can get on the same page. I love that. Okay. What other tips do you have?
To start that conversation, because sometimes not necessarily the I want to quit my job and start a business conversation, but to just sort of start general conversations about money. I mean, if you hire a financial coach, that's a pretty obvious way, because then you show up to your financial coaching session and you talk about money. But if you are not there yet, or you don't want to, or you feel like you can't afford it, then I'm a fan of sort of bringing it into everyday life. Like, you know, you're sitting on the couch together watching Netflix. And let's say you're watching a show like Marriage or Mortgage, which was, you know, a couple months ago came out, but a show where they're talking about money basically in any capacity. Mm. You know, wow, that's a really interesting, what do you think? What if we are in that situation, whether you're engaged now, whether you're not engaged, whether you're just dating, like, wow, if we were in that situation where we had $25,000 to either do this or that, how would we make that decision?
Mm.
And kind of trying to work that into.
That is so brilliant. I've never, ever even thought about that. Just like using other people's lives and entertainment to bring mm-hmm. about conversations. That is so amazing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to go into our little information session about an upcoming course that I'm offering. And then I want to hop back into this conversation and have you teach us a little bit more about what you do with the people that you work with. Does that sound good?
Sure. Sounds good.
Let me ask you this. Are you a business owner and you feel like you are literally tied to your phone all the time in order to keep up with social media? You know you need to post consistently, but you don't know what to post, and you don't want to have to post every single day because it means that you're married to your phone. So then you're not consistent, and then business doesn't follow. Or maybe you have no idea how to attract your ideal client, and you want to find a way to get the right people to come to you. Oh my goodness, like that was totally where I was. And I had to take some time and research to find out what the heck I could be doing to make my life so much better. So here's the scoop. I have found a system that I've created a system that has allowed me to not only attract my dream clients, but it's allowed me to be consistent by planning all of my content for an entire year in one single weekend. And I've decided to offer it to all of you guys. If that is something that you would love to learn more about, make sure to click on the link in the show notes so that you can learn how to get your life back, but keep your social media game on track.
Okay, guys, here we are back. Emily, I cannot wait for you to continue to take us down this road. And you helped us see that we really, really can start getting on the same page when we think of a good big goal that we want to have together. And I loved how you snuck in the entertainment factor in there. That was brilliant. Okay, what other things do you have people do, or what other part of your process do you take people through when you work with them?
Yeah, so I think a really important thing, especially when you're just starting to make financial decisions mm-hmm. together, is talking about sort of like we talked about earlier, how did you grow up?
Okay.
What did you see your parents do? What didn't you see your parents do? What did you see that worked? What did you see that didn't work? What are you assuming that your life will look like? What are you expecting that you and your partner will make decisions about together? Or what are you expecting that they'll handle? What are you expecting to handle? All of sort of those assumptions and expectations that we don't even necessarily realize we have until you start thinking about, oh yeah, I am just assuming that of course we're going to combine bank accounts because my parents combined bank accounts and it worked out great. So isn't that what every successful couple does? Whereas your partner is going, of course we're not going to combine bank accounts. You know, my parents got divorced and it was a huge mess because everything was together and this parent got, you know, this parent got everything and this parent got nothing and it was really hard. And then all of a sudden you're fighting about whether you should have combined bank accounts and that's not really what you're fighting about, but that's kind of what you're fighting about.
Yeah.
But if you can kind of dissect that and go, oh, this is why, and oh, this is why. Okay, so let's sort of unpack that and figure out what's best for us moving forward. Again, coach, I want to move forward. Let's move forward. Let's look to what we can create together.
And you know what's so cool too, because I think that oftentimes we can, in this retrospect, looking at the behaviors that we've witnessed when we were growing up, we start to, with the process that you just described, figure out, like, you know what, my mom and dad really didn't model much for me, and we definitely didn't talk about it. And I just literally, like, it made me think of my own kids. Like, we have a debit card, right? And so we use it at the store. They don't understand that that's a debit card. They just think that we have, like, this free money and this magic plastic thing, right? And so they don't even know that there's a whole process behind the scenes that goes in with using that plastic card, right? And so I think that when you can get on the same page, also you're able to have these conversations, you're able to recognize, like, oh my goodness, like, we want to make sure that we're modeling X, Y, or Z for our own kids so that they understand and can avoid some of these conversations that we're having right now, right? Anything else in your process that you haven't had a chance to talk about yet?
Well, after the couples get married, because leading up to the wedding, there's so much going on, and some couples live together before they get married, some couples don't. So I just say after the wedding, because this is much clearer, then we really get into the nitty gritty of making an actual budget, which is a whole different conversation of what did you see? What have you done? What did you not see? What are your preconceived notions? What is this going to look like? Is it going to be every single cent accounted for? Is it going to be, checking account looks good? We know, you know, things are automatically funneled where they need to go, so we're good. You know, are we going to go super nitty-gritty detailed? Or are we going to go really big picture and let's just make it as simple as possible? And then, like you were saying, typically one person sort of steps into being that more money manager mode, whereas the other one handles other things. So who's going to be in charge of maintaining this? How often are you going to meet and talk about it so that one person doesn't get totally out of the loop? I'm a big fan of having money dates, whether they're formal or informal, where on a semi-regular basis, whether that's weekly or monthly, quarterly, whatever, you kind of sit down and go, you know, here's where we're at. Sometimes it's just as simple as here's where we're at. Everything's good. Everything good. Great. We're done. Sometimes it's okay. So this is what happened. This is a little bit more than we were expecting, but we had this come in, or we're really being pinched because of this. So what can we do to adapt? Yeah. Just sort of keeping everybody in the loop. Otherwise it can get to one person knowing everything, the other person knowing nothing, which can be fine, but can also be a slippery slope to a whole host of
Other problems. I mean, I had a dear friend who passed away recently, young guy, you know, young family. And it's just like thinking about that, it made my husband and I talk about this, like, okay, well, where are all the passwords at and what do you do? And I think that you mentioned earlier that you also don't like conflict. Maybe it's a Minnesota thing in me, but I'm like, it's just like, I don't want to talk about that. And if you've had conversations in the past about money and it's always ended up in an argument, you're going to avoid those conversations like they're the plague, right? But I think one of the things that you said that really stuck out to me was that if you can make them more of a regular occurrence, you're going to desensitize yourself into it being like a really ugly, dramatic event. So if you get in the habit of talking to each other on a weekly or a monthly basis, all of a sudden you recognize that it just is a conversation. There's no, that doesn't have to have all the emotion, because every single conversation doesn't have to be that way, and it starts to not be that way, and then all of a sudden you desensitize yourself to that. So it's really smart, something that I definitely need to start doing a better job at. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah, I had a couple I worked with last year. I think it was last year. They'd been married 10 years, so not engaged couple, but they told me, and maybe this is an exaggeration, but they said, we've never had a conversation about money without fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Married for 10 years together for, I don't know, a couple years before that too. And then like their third or fourth session, they're like, oh my gosh, we've been talking about money. We haven't been fighting. Like everything is out on the table. Yeah. We are working together. We are communicating. It's like, yes, yes, yes. This is what I want. Yes. This is what I want. I want you to be able to talk and work together and have that dialogue. And I think that's part of it, that if you know you're going to have a conversation, then it's not one person springing it on the other person and one person feeling attacked because why did you spend that much? You know, we have debt and you went out and bought this. Well, last week you blah, blah, blah. And then it immediately starts here.
Yeah.
Whereas if you know it's coming, you can kind of prepare for it and proactively think about what you need to talk about. And,
That's brilliant. Do you have, I know that you left it very open-ended, which I love, because basically you're like, if you, as long as you two agree on a way, an approach to go about this, you're like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Right. But do you find that there are certain tools that you really recommend that have seemed to work well for people, like a budgeting tool or any kind of framework that you have?
So my favorite budgeting app actually recently redid everything to make the learning curve a lot less steep, because it used to be, well, this is great, but you know, you have to kind of get over that really steep, but they kind of flatten that. So that's exciting. So if you're willing to put in some time and you want to be granular and track everything, the budgeting app You Need a Budget is amazing, in my opinion.
I've heard of that
one. It's $86 a year, I think. But I'm a fan of paying for things to not have advertisements and to trust that they're not going to do anything sketchy with my data. Like if you're trying to, you know, pay attention to your spending and you're seeing ads popping up for things, then that seems a little
Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. I've never thought about that.
Like, I don't know about this. And if they're not charging me for anything, then what are they doing with the stuff? How are they making money? But so I'm a big fan of that one. That's what my husband and I personally use. It's sort of like a cash envelope system, except it's digital. Mm-hmm. So you're taking all of your money, you're saying, you know, here's my digital envelope that I want to put this much money into and then spend from that.
Yeah.
On the other extreme, if you're like, I don't want to have to deal with this on a regular basis, this is just too much. I kind of alluded to this earlier, but if you can set up a multiple account system where, you know, your paycheck goes here and then you have decided X amount is going towards savings and X amount is going towards there and X amount is going there, and just have that transferred out so that what's left. Or you can have everything go in here and then transfer X amount to spending. Mm-hmm. And then when that's gone, it's gone because the bank account is empty.
Yeah.
But your other bank accounts are not. So that's a little bit more hands-off, which can appeal to some people if they're just like, I don't even want to, I know I need to do something, but I have no interest in managing this. This is just too much. This is a little more accessible.
That's really smart. I've heard people doing that. So basically they go down to the local bank, they open up, you know, several different accounts, and it sounds like both of these approaches though, you use kind of a zero-based budget.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah. And for those of you guys,
it's a different way of thinking about it. But,
and so do you want to describe what a zero-based budget is for people? So,
It's basically assigning every dollar in your bank account a job. So it's not saying it's budgeting to zero, which doesn't mean spending to zero. It means, you know, I have $1,000. This $500 is going to pay for housing. This $100 is going to pay for gas. This $100 is going to pay for groceries. If I mathed correctly, I have $200 left. This $200 needs to, you know, buy, I don't know, there. This $100 goes to cover pet food. Now I have $100 left. This is all I have to spend. My bank account says I have $1,000. But I really only have $100 because everything else has been set aside for.
You have explained that beautifully. And so basically, you guys, you know what you're going to get paid at the beginning of the month, and you assign all of that money to a place. And I got to say that a couple of things that to save you some headache and some frustration, it does take about 3 or 4 months to really start to get into the hang of it. So if it's hard the first couple months, like know that there's nothing wrong with you. that it can be, because you forget, like, oh crap, like so-and-so has a birthday and I have to buy a birthday present that you completely forgot about. Or, oh my, you know, this, we got invited to this and we knew about it and we'd already committed to it. And so just knowing that you have to give yourself some grace when you're going into this, but it definitely does. And then I made it a game. Like, if I make things a game, then it's fun. So for me, I was able to say, okay, well, we should spend X amount of money on eating out and X amount of money at the grocery store and X amount on gas, let's just say. And then any amount more than that, I wanted to keep putting into my savings bucket, or at the time when we were building our shed, like our shed bucket, we're like, it almost like try to gamify it, like see if we could, you know, pay for it faster or get that savings account built.
So I set aside $100 for groceries, but I only spent 97. So I have $3 to put, $3 extra to put towards my shed or my vacation or retiring earlier.
Yes.
Or whatever it is that lights you up.
And remember to,
or put $1.50 towards
this. Yes. And as you're trying to figure out your budget, and maybe you don't know, maybe you have no idea how much you spend at the grocery store every month. Like, that is normal for a lot of people. And so just knowing that if you budget, let's just say $200 towards something, and you're finding that that is actually coming in way less, but this other budget that you have over here is way more than you expected, then you just reallocate those funds. But at the end of the month,
absolutely,
basically you have assigned all of that money to a job. And so I love that. Oh my goodness. We have been having just the most amazing conversation. I never thought that I would actually really enjoy talking about this, but I think it's because I love communication and I'm very, very, I'm very passionate about being financially responsible, even though it's hard for me. So that's my caveat in this. You guys, you're probably wondering, like, Lachelle, money is hard and you're Dave Ramsey coach. And it's because I wanted to learn how to get better. And so Emily, you're doing this and you're helping people get unstuck before they start, but you're also helping people like this, a couple that you mentioned that have been married and they've never had a good conversation about money. And I just love, love, love all of the questions that you ask people and the way that you bring them together and help them to have a unified goal and live the life that they want to live and leave the legacy that they want to leave. And you're just such a blessing. Is there anything that we haven't talked about while we wrap up our conversation that I wanted to make sure I gave you the platform?
Oh, one other tip that I always think is nice is if you have extra money left over, have a plan for that before it shows up.
Yeah.
Or if you get a tax return every year, have a plan for that before you file your taxes. Because as soon as you don't have a plan, I don't know where it goes.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I would wager that everybody listening, no matter how responsible you are with money, could tell a story about, yeah, I got this money, or there has been time that money has just disappeared. I have no idea what I spent it on. It just vanished. Honestly, that's how I am with cash.
Yes,
I'm really bad at tracking cash because we have our budgeting app linked to our credit cards that it just pulls information in. So I know where everything is. Cash just sort of vanishes.
It does.
So, and if you have so going back to more of a larger quantity of money, you know that you're going to get some kind of tax return. Maybe you don't know the exact dollar amount, but you usually get, we'll say, between $2,000 and $3,000. Have a plan. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to use that to pay down debt? Are you going to use some of it to pay down debt? Are you going to use it to go on vacation? Are you going to use it to buy Christmas presents? Are you going to use it to build your shed?
Yeah.
What do you want to do with that before it comes in? And maybe you're going to use some of it for your goals and you're just going to use 10% of it as just whatever money to let it disappear. But plan to have it disappear so that it doesn't all disappear.
Yes. Oh my God.
Goodness knows money is really good at just sort of flying away into the ether.
That is such great advice. And Emily, I always ask all of my guests to give the audience a question that they can ponder that's going to help them move forward in this space of their life. Hmm. So what would you have our audience ask themselves?
Ask yourself, where do I want to be in 5, 10, 20 years? And what can I do financially to set myself up for that?
I love that. Thank you so much for your sweet, sweet just passion for helping people get on the same page and for all of the wonderful advice that you had today. I'm so grateful that we got a chance to meet and we actually get to meet in person soon, which is so fun.
I know. All right. We have to set up a coffee date.
I know. Absolutely. Well, Emily, thank you so much. And you guys, thanks for everything and have a great day. Thank you so much for listening to the Untuck podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.